Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during October. It's definitely not summer anymore, so before you head out, make sure you're dressed warmly, and grab a blanket, a folding chair, or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean way back. Then find a spot that's far from bright lights, with a clear view all around the horizon. Okay, let's head out. Before twilight fades, I want you to note where the sun has set. That's west, more or less. Now, turn completely around to face the opposite or eastern horizon. If you've got a clear, unobstructed view, you'll see a bright star hovering low down. That's the planet Jupiter. Now, I can hear you saying, "That wasn't there a few weeks ago." True enough. In late September, Jupiter reached what's called opposition, where it was directly opposite the sun in the sky. Jupiter popped up just as the sun went down. Now, with each passing week, the king of planets will appear a little higher in the sky. By Halloween, at sundown, it'll be more than 20 degrees up. That's two fists at arm's length. Jupiter will also get higher as the evening passes. So if you don't see it right away, give it another hour or two, then check again. It's really dazzling right now, three times brighter than any star in the nighttime sky. And it'll be dominating the evening starscape for months to come. So if you've got binoculars, train them on Jupiter to see if you can spot its round disk or the cohort of four star-like moons to either side of it. About two-fifths above Jupiter is the Great Square of Pegasus, representing the body of the mythical horse which, right now, is lying flat on its back in the sky. Seems the gods never got around to finishing Pegasus. It's got a neck and a head extending off to the right, and its legs are sticking up toward overhead. But this horse has no behind. It ends at the square's left corner, a star called Alpheirats. Now make a generous quarter turn to your left, so that you're facing northwest. See anything familiar? It's our old friend the Big Dipper. We're used to seeing it higher in the sky, but here it's not far above the horizon. As the starry sky wheels around through the changing seasons, old constellations sink into the sunset and new ones rise in the east. But for star patterns like the Big Dipper, in the far northern part of the sky, this seasonal shift becomes a slow, counterclockwise rotation around Polaris, the North Star. Now, Polaris isn't the brightest star in the sky, but it's easy to find. Find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through them, and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium-bright star pretty much all by itself. And what might that be? It is Polaris, the North Star. Now use that clenched hand to measure three fists to the upper right of Polaris. You'll see a group of five stars crudely shaped like a three, or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. I gotta tell you, this doesn't look much like a queen to me. Nope. When someone says Cassiopeia, I immediately think W. Now you'll see the Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star. So when one is high up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules the fall and winter. Look to the upper left of Cassiopeia and above Polaris for a tall pattern of five stars looking a little like an upside-down house perched on the point of its roof. This is the constellation Cepheus, who is the husband of Cassiopeia and the mythical king of Ethiopia. About the same distance to the lower right of Cassiopeia, on the other side, are the stars of Andromeda, their daughter. October starts out with moonless evening skies, but you'll see a slender crescent sneaking up in the west by the 10th or 11th. Full moon falls on the 22nd. It's known as the hunter's moon, presumably because, with the leaves falling and the crops harvested, hunters see their prey more easily. For you meteor buffs, October is a so-so month. Every year around the 21st, Earth passes through the modest Orionid meteor shower, a spray of interplanetary particles spawned by Halley's Comet. Ordinarily, you might see 10 to 15 meteors per hour that appear to stream just from above Orion's bright reddish shoulder star, Betelgeuse. But this year, light from a nearly full moon will drop even those modest counts precipitously. And one more thing. I confess that I really enjoy Halloween. But maybe not for the reasons you're thinking. Late October brings great observing weather. The temperatures are usually pleasant, the bugs have vanished, and there's plenty to see in the sky above. So when trick-or-treaters invade our neighborhood, I set up my telescope in our driveway. I figure a few passing goblins might want to take a peek through the eyepiece. It's always a big hit, and you should really try it. This Halloween, there's no moon to view, so Jupiter is the star of the show. And try looking just 3 degrees to its left for the dim planet Uranus. If you want more sky-watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll explain why Queen Cassiopeia is not a happy camper. Until then, I wish you clear skies.